Good morning, Purpose Church. It's so good to be with you this morning. And I know that Eric already said it and that he says it every week, but I love you all too so much. And when I think about you guys, I'm just so thankful to be part of this church. And I'm so thankful for your prayers for our church and just that I get to know you. So I love you. But way more importantly than that, God loves you so much. And as I was praying for today, I just really feel like part of the reason that he brought us all here today is to remind us that he loves us so much, like a good dad. So open up your Bible with me to my favorite Psalm, Psalm 103. And as you're opening it up, I want to ask you a really hard question. And that question is, how is your soul? How is your soul? I love that David talks about our souls. How is your inmost being, as he would say? He starts the psalm and ends the psalm by saying, "Praise the Lord, my soul." And I think we go so quickly through life that we hardly ever stop to ask ourselves how we're really doing and to really talk about that with ourselves and with the Lord and with other people. And if you look at the Hebrew word for soul that David uses here, it's nefesh. And that refers to the whole person, including their physical life, so your whole body, your desires, and your emotions. So when David starts by saying, "Praise the Lord, my soul," he's commanding his entire body, his thoughts, his feelings, his emotions, all that he is to praise the Lord. So let's look at the first two verses together. He says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." So is your soul regularly praising the Lord like David's? Are you regularly praising the Lord? And if not, what's getting in the way of your praise? I think we all have different things that can get in the way of that soul worship, of living this life of fully praising the Lord. But I think David would say one thing that gets in the way of all of our soul worship is forgetfulness. And that's why he says, "Forget not." And then he goes on throughout the psalm to list all of God's benefits. So that's what I want to keep coming back to today. Don't forget. We don't have time to forget. Don't forget. Train your soul to praise by remembering what's always true about God. But I wanted to start with a little confession to tell you that I am not very good at remembering. In fact, I'm a really forgetful person, and I used to be worse than I am now. I've been working on it. I think it's been like a decade since Eric's had to rescue me because I lost my keys. So I'm doing better. But when I was 11, my grandpa had cancer, and he knew he just had a little bit of life left to live. So he took me and my older cousins on a cruise to Europe. And this was like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity and really special time with my grandpa. But what I remember most from this trip is when it came time to go home, everybody was in a panic because my passport was lost. And I kept saying, "Don't worry, I put it somewhere really important so that I would remember where it is. I just can't remember right now." And so we were searching left and right, and my aunt and uncle were there. They were really worried. Everybody was worried. And we sat down in a panic, and one of my cousins said, "I think there's something blue sticking out of your sock." And it was my passport. I put it there so I wouldn't forget where it was. And then if you fast forward to college, I remember a time where I couldn't find my wallet anywhere, and turns out I'd thrown it away, and it was in our apartment complex dumpster. So my roommates, they had to hoist me into the dumpster and cheer me on until I found my wallet. They even smelled my hair to make sure I was okay to go to class and didn't need to, you know, take a shower. I can't believe I did that. But all that to say, if you're here connected at Purpose Church, make sure you got your life group, people that'll hoist you into a dumpster or even get in there with you. And forgetfulness, it can be funny. Maybe some of you, like me, are forgetful, but it can also be really serious. And as I'm reading the Bible, I feel like this just keeps coming up all throughout the Bible, is that when we forget God, when we forget how much he loves us, when we forget what he's done, when we forget to stay and remain in his presence, it leads to all kinds of sin. It leads to all kinds of disconnection and things that don't satisfy our hearts. And In the book of Deuteronomy, this is like Moses' locker speech. It's his last message to the people because he knows he's about to die. And so he tells God's people over and over again, 15 times in the book of Deuteronomy, he says, don't forget what he did at the Red Sea. Don't forget how he rescued you. Tell your children, write them on your doorposts and on your gates. Don't forget. And then in chapter 8, he talks about what happens when things are going well and we forget. He says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord. When things are good, when things are bad, praise the Lord. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands and his laws. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, I'm jumping down to 14, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. When things are going well and we don't stop and praise, we forget. When things are really hard and we don't feel like there's anything to praise him for, we forget his promises and that they're true. I feel like all throughout, I just finished Judges, and there's this cycle. The people are forgetting God. They're going their own way. And then when things aren't going well, they cry out to him. He's gracious and compassionate to rescue them. But then when things are going well, they forget him again. And when we regularly remind our souls to praise and to adore the Lord, something happens and something shifts in our hearts, and we get to live in this fully satisfied place with him. And here's the good news. Jesus knew that we would forget. One of my other favorite chapters in the Bible is John 15. And Jesus tells his disciples 11 different times to remain in him, to remain. Last service, Curtis told me, if you don't remain, you don't remember. And it's so true. If we don't stay close, it's hard to remember God. And part of remaining and staying in his presence is remembering him and making it a habit to praise him. And not just with our lips, not just phoning it in, but with our souls, with our nefesh, like David would say. Sometimes we have to talk to ourselves and sing to ourselves and preach the gospel to ourselves instead of listening to our own thoughts. We have thousands of thoughts that pass through our mind every day. And I've learned that a deep and satisfying life with God starts with taking these thoughts captive and turning them into praise and into adoration, even when it doesn't make sense. And I want to tell you about a time, a different time that I forgot God. And this was about 3 years ago. I was just going through a season where there were just so many thoughts that were coming in, and I felt so overwhelmed and afraid and sad. And I remember talking to a mentor, and she said, Sarah, you need to memorize Psalm 103. And I looked at it, and it looked really long, but I said, okay, I'll memorize it. So I started to memorize it, and at the same time, we were going on a trip as a family, and I was so excited to turn my phone off and to just be really present and to dwell, and I didn't bring any work. And then when I got there, I was still me, and I still, you know, had my same issues and struggles and feelings. And I remember just kneeling down in the middle of the night because I had been tossing and turning all night, and I just said, God, would you speak to me? Would you tell me what's wrong with me? Why am I feeling all of these things? And I felt like he just popped this little word into my mind, and the word was tether. And he kind of brought to mind a tether is something that you're safely secured to so that you can't wander off by yourself and so you can't get hurt. And I felt like in that moment he was saying to me, Sarah, you're forgetting to be tethered to me. You're forgetting that when you're in choppy waters, I'm there. When you go to difficult places, I'm there. When you, wherever you are, just like we talked about last week in Psalm 139, I'm there. I'm with you. And he brought to mind kind of how this started for me as a baby. I was in a car wreck where my dad and older sister died, and I felt like he was showing me, even though you don't remember that time, that was when you started to live that way. And there's been this theme in your life of feeling like it was all up to you. And so when I started to memorize Psalm 103 and pray that he would remind me to remain and be tethered to him, it started to change me. And I think that we all have different reasons that we forget God. But when we remember him, when we slow down enough to remember him, to regularly praise him with our soul, we start to become people who are full of peace and full of joy, even when it makes no sense to feel that way. And memorizing Psalm 103 or just reflecting on it, it helps us to tether our hearts to God's goodness. It's a psalm all about remembering God. And David is speaking to his own soul. He's not just praising God, he's commanding himself himself, his soul, to praise God. And I wonder if David, I looked it up and nobody knows for sure when he wrote it, but I wonder, we know he went through a lot of difficult times in his life, and so I wonder if maybe this was the psalm he wrote during one of those difficult times, and maybe that's why he has to command his soul to remember the goodness of God and to remember what God has done for him. And to think about God's benefits. You don't have to feel thankful or grateful to start praising God. You don't have to feel it to rehearse his goodness, because praise starts with truth and what we know is true, not with emotion. So we're going to look at four truths that we can command our souls to remember about God and to worship about God, because these are things that are not changing no matter what happens to us in our lives. And the first one that I want us to not forget is remind your soul, God forgives all my sins. I love that David included this first. He was a man familiar with sinning and with shame and turning that to the Lord. And he puts this first, God forgives all my sins. And I think that little word all is so beautiful and heals all your diseases. I am definitely someone who struggles with shame and with thinking through things I wish I had done differently. And I remember when my kids were little, when as a young mom, every night, and I'm serious, every night I would lay in bed listing off the ways I'd failed my kids that day, thinking about how I could be better, a better wife, better mom, better at my job, better at all these things. And sometimes they were little things and sometimes they were big things. And God brought to mind when I was in fourth grade, I had a teacher who taught the class. I went to a Christian school at the time. And she taught us to pray that God would prick our heart whenever we sinned. And I remember thinking, why would I do that? That sounds painful, and then I would be held accountable for my sin. But as I grew and matured in my faith, I realized what a gift it is to have our hearts woken up to our sin. God disciplines us because he loves us. He stops us in our tracks and turns us around because he loves us too much to leave us where we are. And confession, that word confess, it means to agree. So when we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we are agreeing that he's Lord, that he's Savior. When we confess our sins daily, regularly, sometimes every hour for me, when we do that, we are agreeing that we need a Savior. We're not hiding it or trying to modify our behaviors. We're just getting down on our knees, asking him for the one thing that only he can give us, and that's his mercy. And I'm so thankful. I think that is one of the coolest parts of following Jesus, is that our past doesn't define us. Even our future. I remember as a little girl writing letters to my future self. Please don't sin. Don't walk away from God. Even the things we do in the future, that doesn't define us. His mercy defines us. And David had to remind his soul of this. That's what he's doing in verse 8. He's actually speaking God's word back to him. He says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He's just quoting something that he's memorized from Exodus. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love. He's commanding his soul to remember what he's trained himself to know is true. And we have something that David didn't have. We have the cross. We know Jesus' redemption plan. We know that he came and he died for that sin too. Whatever that sin is for you that you might be thinking of right now. We know, and David didn't know that yet. So let's look at verses 9 through 12. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. What a gift to know that our sins, can I have that? There's something in here. Sorry. Our sins can never meet because the east and the west can never meet. And God forgives us totally and repeatedly and lavishly. But when we forget and we don't bring our sins to him, we can't come out of hiding. And that is something that is still so hard for me. I want to be defensive or pretend like I have it all together. But look what happens when we conceal our sins. This is Proverbs 28. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. And I just think this is so, so sweet of God. When we are quick to confess, we grow closer to him and our spirit is softer and we realize our deep need for him. Lean into God's perfect love that is just his perfect love that drives out all fear and all shame that we might feel. And it's not that we don't feel those feelings, but we surrender them all to him. I also love 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all, there's that word again, all unrighteousness. Maybe for someone in here today, maybe you walked in here feeling like there's something that you can't be forgiven for. And maybe that was even something keeping you up in the night. And maybe there's some of you that feel like something disqualifies you from God's love. And I have been there before, but that is not what God's word says. And maybe the answer for you today is to remind your soul to stop forgetting, to remember that he forgives all your sins. Look at what God's word says about how he forgives us. We get to be called holy and blameless in his sight. I love those identity words. It's not anything I could ever be on my own, but because of what Jesus did on the cross, I'm holy and blameless, and so are you. There is no condemnation for those who believe. And I can approach his throne with confidence. I love this. Rather than sitting on our beds thinking about the ways we failed, we get to give them all to him and trust that he forgives all of our sins and loves us too much to leave us right there. So when you start to buy the lie that you need to be ashamed or you need to hide something, rather than doing that, let's command our souls to say what is always true. Let's say it together. We're going to command our souls together on the count of three. Ready? 1, 2, 3. God forgives all my sins. Love that word. Okay, and the second one that I want to remind you of is God can redeem anything. This is also such a wonderful part of following Christ. He doesn't just forgive us, he redeems us. Look at verse 4. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Only God, right? He doesn't look at you and say, what are you doing in that pit? He pulls you out and crowns you with love and compassion. It reminds me of the story that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 15. He's telling his disciples the story of the prodigal son. And he says, there's this son who just totally disrespected his dad, took all of his money, ran off and spent it on wild living. And when he came to his senses, he decides to go back home, but not as a son, as a servant. He's going to beg to be a servant in his father's house. But Jesus said, when the son was still a long way off, the father saw him, so he'd been out looking every day for his son, and he ran with all of his might and wrapped his arms around him and put a robe around him and sandals on his feet and a ring on his finger to say, son, I am so glad you're home and you are my son. And Jesus told that story because he wants us to know that that dad in the story is how our dad feels about us when we turn to him. He doesn't say, what were you doing running away? He runs to us and wraps his arms around us because he's a good dad. And I can remember a day that God redeemed for me like this. It was during COVID, and we were in this habit of praying in the mornings that God would show us somebody that needed to know he loved them. Maybe somebody, 6 feet apart, or that God would use us somehow even then. And I remember one day I had woken up on the wrong side of bed, and I yelled at not one or two or three, but all four of my kids on separate occasions. And I just felt horrible. I apologized, but I didn't feel forgiven. And I took the kids on a walk, and I said again, you guys, I'm so sorry. I know you were acting up, but that's beside the point. I should not have talked to you that way. Will you please forgive me? And my daughter, Brinley, she said, Mom, can we pray for you? And she prayed that I would know that I was the best mommy ever and that God loved me. And I just lost it and started crying. She said, why are you crying? And I said, I just feel so loved by God. And she said, Mom, God really does answer prayers. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, we prayed that he would show us someone that needed to know God loved them, and the person that needed to know today was you. And I was so humbled because, see, I want God to use me when I get things right, but he's bigger than even that. He used what I felt like was my worst parenting day to show a little girl that he answers prayers. And even our sins, when we bring them to him, he can turn them into something good. He can redeem anything. That thing that you're thinking of right now, like, God, what are you going to do with this thing? And I still have one of those. Like, what are you going to do with this? He can redeem even that. He never wastes a hurt. And we might not know for a long time or even in eternity, but he will redeem that thing, even that thing that you're holding on to right now. And he loves us. He doesn't just redeem us. He renews us. Check out verse 5. It says, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So part of his redemption includes changing us. And daily we are in a battle against our flesh and we are desiring things that are not good. I still desire things like approval or comfort or attention or things that don't satisfy. But the longer I spend in God's presence, the more I slow down and remain and remind my soul, and I have to do it a lot because I forget, but the more I do that, the more he's swapping out those desires for good things. And I find myself desiring his presence and to bear fruit and things that do satisfy. So when you feel stuck, remind your soul, God redeems fully everything. Let's say it together. Ready? God redeems fully. Our souls are waking up. That's good. The number three one that I want to help you remember or remember together is that God loves me fully. Verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. And verse 13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. God is holy and mighty, but he's also tender, and he's close, and he's a good dad. And that's something we can always praise him for. When I think about the ways God has showed up as a dad to me, one of the biggest ones for me is when our daughter, Brinley, was diagnosed with her heart condition. And I know Eric just talked about this last week if you were here, but it was a little different part of the story. When we were in there, she was diagnosed with RSV and bronchiolitis and meningitis, and I was so scared. And she was really hot, and I remember I couldn't touch her, I couldn't feed her, and a couple days in, a cardiologist called us and told us that she would need open heart surgery. And I just remember those words cutting into my own heart like a knife. And I wanted to just run back into her room. And Eric stopped me and he said, hold on. We gotta go sit. And there was a little side room. And he said, we need to go and we need to praise God that he's writing a better story for her life than we ever could. And to be honest with you, I just remember thinking, but why would we praise him? What is good about this? What is good? But we did, and we sat down, and we praised him, we thanked him, and Eric had to go home because they only let one parent in at night, and I was in this room at Pomona Valley Hospital, and it was partitioned with curtains, so there's lots of different people, and I was so terrified that night, and I remember getting a text on my phone from a friend, and it was Psalm 121, 1 through 2, which is another psalm about remembering, and this psalm I actually knew because I had memorized a song version as a little girl. And so I just started to sing it, and it goes like this. I'm not going to sing. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, maker of heaven, creator of the earth. And I started to sing it, even though I definitely don't have a singing voice that is good. And so, but I was singing it over and over again, and there were so many people around, but at first I didn't feel it. And then as I would continue to command my soul, I felt God just holding me. And I lifted my eyes off of her and off of myself and literally onto him. And I started to feel like something was shifting where I felt grateful to be her mom and to be the one to help pick out her surgeon and to be there however many days she were to have and to be there for her. And in that moment, I felt God say to me or just put on my heart, and I get to be that one for you, Sarah. I get to be your dad, and I'm glad that I'm the one to hold you and to carry you and to comfort you and give you strength when you need strength and sit here with you as you cry. And I felt so loved by him in that moment. And I want to remind you, if there is nothing else that you hear today, maybe this is the one thing, is that God is your dad and he loves you so much. And even if you don't feel that way, ask him to remind you and to show you that he's your dad and to show up as a dad. I think that's a prayer he doesn't get tired of asking. God, would you remind me that you love me? He is such a lavish, extravagant God. So he likes to answer that prayer and show us how much he loves us. During our hospital stay, I kept a little blog, and so I went back on, and it was still there. I found this picture of her that Eric had caught on the last day, and I had written this underneath the picture. During our hospital stay, Brinley needed oxygen and wasn't able to breathe on her own. On day 12, we wanted to go home so badly, Eric put out another request that our church family pray for her to start breathing on her own without the oxygen, but the doctor said he'd send us home with an oxygen tank. They gave her one last test, and she started breathing all on her own. Why don't I pray all the time without ceasing? God is real, and he answers prayers. Some days our miracles are a little less obvious, but they're still there. Small group and church family, that was you guys too back then, your prayers must be extra powerful. God, you are the best. And I included this. He's the best, I know. But I wanted to include this so you would remember. I didn't even remember that miracle on day 12. Write it down. Write down the ways that God shows up in your life and reminds you that he loves you. And reread them and command your soul to remember them. I found that he loves to help us remember him when we write it down and we ask for his help. So when you feel unworthy or alone, or you find yourself trying to earn your keep or earn God's love, ask him to show himself as a father to you and remind your soul, God is compassionate. Let's say God loves me on three. Ready? One, two, three. God loves me. Amen. And the last truth that I want to look at with you today is to remind your soul, God always remembers me. He always remembers you. Let's look at verse 14. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. God knows you inside and out. He knows your weaknesses. He knows the times that you'll forget. He knows all of it, and we don't have to hide that from him. This is so different from what the world tells us. The world tells us we need to strive and accomplish and kind of hide our faults and have things all together, but God isn't impressed by our strength or our productivity. He likes us in our weakness. He likes us when we come to him needing a dad to handle things for us and when we put our eyes on him. And adoring God will change you. Choosing to adore and remember when you feel weak or lost or hurt or bored, he'll meet you even there. And my kids love this verse about God remembering us from Isaiah 49, verse 15. It says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me." And this is such a powerful and sweet verse about God remembering us. But they like this verse because they like to make fun of me with it. Because when my youngest son was a baby, I remember once holding him and nursing him, and all the kids are running around, and I was counting them. And then I went, "Oh, where's Levi? Where's Levi?" And I was screaming and looking all around, and they all kind of pointed at me. And my oldest son said, "You're feeding him." And so they love to remind me that a mother can't forget her child, but I did. So even if you are as forgetful as me, church, or even if you have wandered away, or maybe you're feeling like you have forgotten what's the best part of life is praising the Lord with our souls, even then, God does not forget you. He keeps his covenant from everlasting to everlasting. So when the lie creeps in, "I'm too broken, I'm not enough, God must be disappointed in me," I want you to remember that you are remembered, redeemed, forgiven, and loved. So let's say this last one together. God remembers me. One, two, three. God remembers me. What if we became people who practice remembrance? If we just got really good at remembering or asking God to help us remember. The world is telling us to be tethered to our phones, to take it with us wherever we go, to be tethered to our successes, to our jobs, to our accomplishments, to a perfectly run home or whatever it is. But I think God is trying to wake us up, to wake up our hearts and get our attention and remind us to tether our hearts to him, to praise him, to cling to him and hold fast to him. Verses 17 and 18, again, he says, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. We only have one life to live. Are we remembering to obey him? Are we remembering to listen to him, to sit at his feet? You know, David called being with God and walking with God, he called it better than life. And God called David a man after God's own heart. But some of us are missing out on that kind of living. Whatever you're holding on to, or clinging to, or saying over and over again to your soul, if it's not God's goodness, it's not gonna satisfy. Does your soul praise the Lord? Are you commanding your soul to remember him? We have to train our souls to regularly praise him before the miracle comes, before we know how he's gonna redeem it. We need to continue to praise the Lord. So I wanna show you a list from Psalm 103. I have this on my phone on a little notepad from 2022, and it says, Sarah, if you can't think of anything to be grateful for, read this. So these are things that are always true about God, and it's in your program too. When the days are the darkest, don't let your soul take command, but command your soul, as David does, to praise the Lord. My friend Vanetta, she's coming up here on the worship team, but she told us once, don't forget in the dark what you knew in the light. So when we are in the darkness, when we have this to memorize or to recite or to read, or we just remember what's true about God, we can train our souls to praise him. And man, has that helped me in the dark. I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. He says, in commanding us to glorify him, God is inviting us to enjoy him. He knows that when we praise him and when we're tethered on tight to him, we find our ultimate satisfaction in him. So this is my challenge for us this week. We have that list in our program or in Psalm 103. Keep this handy. Read it every morning and every night. Practice reminding your soul to praise the Lord for who he is and what's not changing about him. And then an extra challenge, maybe you want to memorize it or memorize a portion of it. And as you do, anticipate the change in your soul. It takes practice to praise the Lord like this, and I am definitely forgetting all the time, and God is reminding me. I even wear a bracelet that reminds me to dwell, to remain. But when we do that, it changes us. So we're gonna take just a minute to worship the Lord with our whole souls, with our nefesh, and we're gonna sing Holy Forever again with our worship team. And I love these words because they're about taking our eyes off of us and onto God. And it also talks about joining in with the angels. David knew it wasn't enough just to command his own soul to praise, but he actually commanded the angels to praise too. So the end of Psalm 103 goes like this, verse 20. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for these things about you that are not changing. I still can't believe that we get to be loved like this, that you forgive all of our sins, that you redeem our lives from the pit, and you're happy to do it. You love to do it. So God, for anyone who's forgotten that or who doesn't feel worthy of that, God, invite them home today. Help them to turn to you and choose you. Remind us, wake up our hearts and our souls, and let us be a people and a church that worships you with all that we are, because you are so good, and that's never changing. Amen.